O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." While I have spent considerable time pondering these words, I find how richly profound that instruction to be. Love one another as I have loved you. How in the world can I love someone, anyone, as God loves me? Is it possible to love one another as God loves me? This would seem difficult, if not impossible, of a task, would it not? But before we abandon all hope, let us consider Jesus' words. The commandment to love one another as Jesus loved his disciples should tell us that Jesus has confidence that we can love others as he loves. After all, it would seem reasonable to conclude that if we were not able to follow through on this commandment, he would not have given it. We must also assume that this love or act of loving does not initiate within ourselves. We are to love as he loves. Because we are in the image of God, love is an attribute of God. For in 1 John 4, it tells us that God is love. The secret then to loving as Christ loves us is that this love flows from the Father and is shared with the Son. And the Son returns this same love to the Father. How do we know this? The passage that's right off the heels of the true vine discourse in John 15, where Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." So what does it mean then for abiding in Jesus? This love that he's talking about. It seems to me that we are to obey our Lord. That by doing so, we are transformed into the likeness of our Savior. But I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into this love that Jesus is talking about. You see, love is spoken in a variety of ways, is it not? We hear things like, "I love pepperoni pizza." "I love my pet." "I love my job." "I love my child." "I love my spouse." And boy, do I love St. James Church. Love is expressed within categorical terms. We know this. There's things such as erotic love or eros, which is a passionate or desirous type love. Or phileo, an affectionate, compassionate, brotherly love. Or another word that the Greeks often use is called storge, such as, "I love my family or my child, my parents." It's an instinctual love. And then we have the most highest expression of love, which is the word used in John's gospel, agape, a selfless, even sacrificial love that is committed to the well-being of others. In the various forms, we find love or the attractions of it in books, in our writings, in songs, in movies, in art, poetry, philosophy, psychology, and yes, even in medicine. But what are we, the people of God? What are we to make of this love, this agape that Jesus is talking about? Well, I have formulated two questions. First, how can I love others as he loves me? And two, what does it mean to love others as God loves me? And I want to try to answer these two questions as best I can. So, you might want to settle in your chair for a little bit. This is going to take a while. And I figure if we go without breaks, we should be out of here by sometime next week. How can I love others as God loves me? Well, Jesus sets the example. His love is exemplified in his relationship with his Father. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. This message, of course, is at that part of the vine discourse where he relates himself as the vine and his disciple as branches. Remain on the vine, for doing so is not only for the purpose of life, but is also to experience the love of God, for which makes life so meaningful. Love is very much a part of our anthropology, of being human. To be in the image of God means we have the capacity to love in all of its expressions that I just mentioned. There is a difference to our love and God's love, however. God's love is perfect. It is steadfast. His love is pure. It's genuine. It's not marred by sin. Unlike us, we wrestle with sin. We are not only tempted by it, but at times we yield to its demand. And therefore, love can either be corrupt or, worse, absent. But it's not as though God is unaware of this devastation of sin. Nor did he leave us to figure this out on our own. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, Jesus. And he understood the burden of temptation. He was tempted by the accuser following his baptism in Matthew 4 when he was sent out by the Holy Spirit. But rather than succumbing to the temptations, Jesus trusted his Father. He obeyed him. Jesus remained faithful to his Father. He was tempted, but remained obedient. When Jesus says, "Abide in my love," how are we to do this? Jesus gives the answer. If you keep my commandments, that is, obey, you will abide in my love. You will remain in my love, just as I, that is Jesus, have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, the telling of the vine story provides us with a greater understanding beyond acting in obedience to loving God. For God in his love, and I cannot stress enough here, for God in his love was and is for all eternity, and at the beginning of time, when he created humans and set them in the garden, imparted to us a great gift. He gave us the freedom to choose. Among providing the first family to take on responsibilities, to till and keep the garden, they were given everything in the garden to dwell, to procreate, to delight in the growth of food and sustenance from the ground and the trees. But there seemed to be one catch to all this goodness, wasn't there? God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die." God gave humans a choice to exercise their will by either obeying God or to disobey and choose their own path. A path of obedience that leads to life, or a path of disobedience that leads to death. It would seem to me, therefore, that in order to love, we are given this choice. Otherwise, it could not be love. A choice and love must go hand in hand. If it not, it would be something programmed that we might look like love, but it is not sacrificial love, is it? Thus, the choice to love obediently is love perfected. And I'll talk a little bit more about this love being perfected. When Jesus said he kept his Father's commandments, he obeyed. He trusted his Father's word. And therefore, the love from the Father is given to the Son, and Jesus therefore desires to give his love to you, to me. The Father initiated his love, and it flows from him and reciprocates between Father and Son. And Jesus helps us to understand that as we remain on the vine, that is, we obey, as Jesus said, "I keep my Father's commandments," in obedience, that kept Jesus not from temptation, because he was tempted, but from engaging in sin. You cannot but help receive his love. And not only receive his love, but you cannot but share your love with another. And this joy that Jesus was talking about, this joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. To be clear on this issue of freedom of choosing to love, Jesus points us to the awesome truth that we are not slaves in relationship to him, meaning that we are not forced into a loving relationship. Slaves do that. They are forced. We are not robots. We're not programmed people. But rather, Jesus affirms the relationships by what he calls us friends. And as friends, the relationship is a giving relationship. It's a giving relationship to free agency to choose. And we know that friends do good things for each other because of their affections of one another. And as friendships are sustained when they abide in one another. So how can we love others as God loves us? Abide in Christ. Trust him. Obey him. Remain in him. Stay connected to him. Cling to him. Because as you remain in him, you receive the same love Jesus received from his Father. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in his love, and you cannot help but love. So now if we know how to love, what does it mean for us to love? Here's my second question. What does it mean to love as God loves me? If I love and I know how to love, why should the meaning of love matter? What's the point of it? To love others as God loves us, because we are abiding in God's love, it means we strive to be perfected in love. Let's look at 1 John, if you have your Bibles with you. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Here's the word of the Lord. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is, there's that word, perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is also, are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has not seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother or sister. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the first thing that should draw our attention to that passage is that love is from God. The second thing is God is love. Love flows from God, and anyone who does not love does not know God. And you might say, well, wait a minute. This doesn't seem right to me. You say that, I have some very good non-believing friends or family members that love me. They understand love. And I say yes and no. Yes, they understand love in a general sense because they are in the image of God, as all humans are, with the freedom to choose. But the word here, no, because one has been born of God. It is the natural consequence of a relationship with God. This Greek word means to absolutely know, to be sure in one's thinking, which would make sense here in John's letter because he is writing it to his brothers and sisters of faith. So those outside of absolutely knowing God, there is no connected relationship with God. Thus, love is neither perfected or on a path to perfection. Because it says God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And what does that word perfected in us mean? What does it mean to be perfected? Does that mean I'm supposed to be on target all the time? No. That word perfected is a Greek word that is teleos, which means to be complete or to be brought to its end or fulfillment. This love from God is not meant to terminate in us. We don't receive it and let it sit there. Rather, it's God's love to channel in and through us so that we may share this love with others. This is the image Jesus gave us with the vine and branches. The more we abide, we are pruned. Pruned for what? To receive more fruit. The more we allow God's love, we need to make space for this fruit to grow. It's like, here's some more. Here's more. Here's more. Do you see how God loves to give? Can you imagine a world that stopped taking, but rather said, here, I'm giving to you. How does this have meaning? John says love was made manifest by the giving of his son so that we may live through him. But John doesn't stop there. He says, since God loves us, we also ought to love one another. What did Jesus exhort us to do? Love one another as I have loved you. And the way we are sure of this love, this absolutely knowing, is that it is by the presence of the Holy Spirit. John says, by this we know, this absolute, that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. The Spirit assures us of this truth, that God abides in us and we in him. In our understanding and meaning of love, Paul reminds us in his first letter to the Corinthians, he writes the way of love. That love is not present in the body of Christ. We are nothing but a loud, clanging noise, a clanging cymbal. And we often hear this in weddings all the time, don't we? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And it's usually there that when it's read in these weddings or places that it stops and it drives me bananas. Because I say, you're not getting to the best part of this passage. Because Paul continues to say that while we have these gifts, right? He's talking about the gifts, and we know that sure, they are from God, these gifts from God, what they bring, such as prophecy or tongues or knowledge. We only know them in part. Why? Because Paul says that when the perfect comes, this teleos, the ultimate purposeful end, the partial will pass away. It will not be partial anymore. And he gives us an example. What does he say? When I was a child, I reasoned like a child. What does a child know? Not as much as an adult, right? When he became a man, he gave up his childish ways, meaning he's learned so much more. So here's the best part. For now we see in a mirror dimly. That word dimly in Greek means enigma, which is a mystery. It's hard to explain. So now we see in this mystery. What are we seeing? What are we supposed to see? Paul says, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know fully. I will absolutely know, even as I've been fully known, as God has known me. I will know this love. I will know what it means. I will know it for sure now. It won't be partial anymore. It will be fulfilled. It will reach its ultimate end. Amen. The meaning of love will also serve as a witness to the world. John says, by this love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. The love Christ embodied, a witness to the world, and lived out along with his followers, is the same confidence we have in the day of judgment, such that fear no longer has a place in you, in me. There's no opportunities for it in this perfect love. It is cast out. And of course, to fear means that love is not perfected or on its way to perfection. We are not abiding in Christ. And if we are not abiding in Christ, then fear of punishment then becomes a reality. What does it mean to love? If we say we love God but hate our brother or sister, we lie to ourselves, and love does not abide in us. If I say I love God, I must, the scriptures say, love my brothers and sisters. The road to love as Jesus loved, to love as the Father loved Jesus, is by faith, by trusting God and obedience to him, to be perfected in love by abiding in him. God is love. God's love is eternal. It was present in time at creation and will continue even beyond our years. When Christ returns to us, when we are raised into new life, by his grace we experience his love. By abiding in Jesus, we are perfecting in his love. We know how to love. And by our knowing, our assurance of this love, we share in this love, and we understand the meaning of it. It does not terminate in us. We let it channel through us, and we share it with the world. We give it willingly, as Jesus gave it willingly to us. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This morning, as we gaze upon the Eucharist this morning, when you receive the bread and the wine, know that God loves you. And share your love with your brothers and sisters. And be a witness to the world of this love. I want to read something from pastor of old time. He was called the Prince of Preachers. Anyone know who that might be? Charles Spurgeon. He was a 19th century Baptist preacher. And I was reading this little article here, and I wanted to read this, what he said. He says this, "O believer, Jesus loved you before the world began, and all because he would love you. He loved you in order that he might manifest his love to you. He loved you in order that you might be conformed unto his image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and that thus we might share his nature and his character and his Father's love, and so draw nearer and nearer to him an ever-growing fellowship of affection. See the love which is its own cause, spending itself and by its own efficacy, working out its gracious purposes, every one of which is as full of love as the love which designed it. Isn't that amazing? Let's pray. Lord, help us to abide in you, to obey you in all things, that we may become ambassadors of your love to our families, our neighbors, our communities. Help us to know this love that was given by the Father to his Son, our Savior, that we might love others as he loves us. Amen.